This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Holy Willikers, Roxy Music there from their first album, Roxy Music, the first Roxy Music album, as it's more formally known, with the lead track, Remake Remodel. Brian Ferry on tour right now, and I saw him at the Ryman Theater last week, and they performed that song, which is, you know, it's old. He did a bunch of old stuff from like the early 70s. To a seemingly wildly enthusiastic crowd. You know, do you ever see a performer and you really get the sense that, you know, that they you know, they're vibing with the audience, and it seemed that way. So whether it's true or not, I don't know. When you go to see shows, that's kind of what you want, right? You want the performer to seem like they're super into it. Some are really good at pretending they are. Some are don't bother at all. What I call the pavement. The pavement sentiment, the band Pavement, partially based in Louisville, was really good at not caring what you thought and maybe started a whole wave of that. You know, I don't know. I had a friend who blamed Pavement for all of the lackluster performances that he'd ever seen because he said that Pavement taught everybody to not care and barely talk to the audience. I don't know. I feel like we've been on a giant rebound from that in some ways, including Tuesday night's show at Cosmic Charlie's, which was Deerhoof, which was, I think, maybe the most incredible show in the history of the universe. Not sure yet. They're still, you know, still got some things out, trying to make sure that it was the most incredible show in the history of the universe. But it's entirely possible that it was. So, and I don't know why Deerhoof is better than every live band ever. The only thing I can figure is that it's magic. It's actual magic is happening. That's all I know. So anyway, this is Mick. You're listening to Trivial Thursdays on WRFL. And how are you? Good to see you. Let's see. We heard, what did we hear before Roxy Music? I can't quite remember. This is how we do this show. This is one of the leading features of this show is me being wrong or being disorganized. That's part of it, okay? It's not, you know, it's a feature. It's a feature of the show. So, as opposed to like actual errors, actual, you know, problems. It's just part of the show. So, coming up here in a little bit, we're going to see Soraya Brewer and hear about the Crave Festival, which is the giant food festival thing that Smiley Pete Publishing does. And so I'm looking forward to hearing about that because they have like tons of music and all sorts of food. And it's a big thing, man. It's a big deal. So, and then Warren Byram is going to be here, which is awesome. It's always great to have Warren come in. Warren has the band of his called the Fabled Cane Lands, which I think sounds more like Kentucky than just about any band I've ever heard. With the possible exception of these guys. So, whoa, we don't want that. We have to do some button pushing and stopping of things. There we go. Okay. So, let's see. So we've got some music for you, and then we're going to come back and hopefully visit with Soraya. After that, Warren's going to be around. After that, Kurt and Cremena are going to be here, the people behind the Lexington Tattoo Project and a variety of other really cool things. They're unleashing some cool new project. So we're looking forward to hearing what that's all about. So won't you stay tuned? Brian Eno there from Taking Tiger Mountain by Strategy. I'm stuck in 1972 for some reason. So well, Roxy Music a little bit ago. And The True Wheel there from Brian Eno's second solo album, which was in 1972, so far ahead of its time as to be from another planet, pretty much. Hello. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, Soraya.
Hello, Mick.
What was that you did? You had some little quip there?
It was just showing some love for Brian Eno.
Which is why I love you.
Yeah.
Among other things. But, yeah. What can I say? Except hello. I saw you just very recently.
Yes, I saw you on Tuesday night at Cosmic Charlie's.
For the greatest concert in the history of the universe.
It was a really great show.
Like, I was like, I can't remember the last time I saw a band that I was just totally, my jaw was on the floor.
Yeah, they were incredible.
And I don't even know why. I had it confirmed by WRFL's new music director, Maya Collins.
Okay.
Who was standing between you and I finally recognized. And it was one of those things where it was so crazy. And I was looking for you to talk to you after the show to be like, was that as incredible as I thought it was?
Yeah, it was really, really fun. I did definitely duck out. I was running on E, but I stayed till the very end. And yeah, they were incredible. Did you see them when they played? They played here.
I've never seen them before.
At Boomslang. I guess it was maybe the second to last year.
I've always wanted to see them and been kind of, you know, I mean, this is Deerhoof, by the way, that we're talking about. I'm not sure that we mentioned that. And Deerhoof, who plays things like Boomslang and I think like Lollapalooza and stuff like that. I don't know.
Maybe. You know, I'm not sure if they're on that big, big festival circuit. They're definitely super well respected in the kind of alternative, noisy. I mean, they're just kind of unlike any other band. It's kind of hard to categorize them.
I know. It's like their sheer magic that was, I mean, to see them live, it's a four-piece, two guitars, a bass, and a drummer. And I just, I don't know how they're better than almost any live band I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
I don't know how. My brain just hurts thinking about why are they so incredible.
They've got that kind of free jazz vibe and, you know, the jazz drumming that's like just so frenetic, but it's still very
tight
and pop. And yeah.
2-minute pop songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just crazy, crazy. So that was thanks so much to Cosmic Charlie's and whoever else was responsible. And you, with the incredible foresight to have had him at Boomslang, which I missed. I don't know how many years ago.
Probably at another Boomslang show at the time. We'll go with that.
So, you have been involved in orchestrating all kinds of things. I mean, Boomslang being among the kind of, you know, epic RFL-related ones. In more recent years, you've been doing, you've taken this Crave Festival and kind of amped it up from, I mean, it was really kind of huge the first year, actually. Let's be candid.
Yeah. So I'm joined here with Chris Eddy of Smiley Pete Publishing, and this is
Hey Chris, I didn't see you there.
Hi there. He kind of blends right in. This is the fourth year that Smiley Pete has been producing this food and music festival, Crave Lexington, and yeah, I think the first year there were maybe a few thousand people who came out. Last year, year three, we think we had anywhere from 40,000 people. So it's really grown exponentially.
I didn't know it was that big.
Throughout the course of the weekend, and that was based on the traffic flow, the information that the police gave us. At certain points, they said that there were 10,000 cars in the parking lot, and people kind of come for a few hours and then leave and come back. So.
So you guys, you did it early on at Moon Tower.
Moon Dance Amphitheater.
Is it Moon Dance? I keep going back and forth.
Yeah, Moon Tower is another event. There's also
that's what it is. Yeah. That's right. And Moon Dance. And I say Moon Dance, and then I think no, Van Morrison album. but anyway, so yeah, and then you must have thought. God, I hope that we can get enough people to fill this place. It's because it's a big place. And it was overflowing. And so now you move to Masterson.
Second year, it was very, very crowded out at Moondance. So we've moved out to Masterson Station and got lots of room in the fairgrounds there to kind of spread out. It still feels, it's a big enough space to where you're not super on top of each other, but it still feels like you're in an intimate little park. It's been a great space for us so far.
Yeah, yeah, and it's about food, but it's also about music too. I don't know what was like, Chris. What did you think about when you all were first thinking about this? I mean, you guys are in the local news publishing business. What are you doing a food festival?
Well, I think we saw that there was an area that we didn't see being filled. Mm-hmm. So the idea from the very start was to create something that we would want to go to. And I think that's become, you know, the measuring stick by which we create all of our events these days. And that's what I go to this. And so, you know, the answer ultimately became outdoors, food, music, beer, wine, booze, that sort of thing. All those are, it's a simple formula. Just get all those things in the same place and a bunch of people, and we have some fun.
Well, and I mean, it's easy in, like, what do they call it, 2020 hindsight, to see, I think we've all gotten to see, and Smiley Pete's been right in the middle in a lot of ways of a variety of sort of cultural renaissance things that have happened in Lexington over the past decade or more. And sometimes it's easy to see these things in hindsight, but at the time when you all launched the Cray Festival, it may not have been quite so obvious, you know, like, let's have a big festival with food. And but then 40,000 people later.
Yeah, I think we were a little, I mean, I feel like I was taken aback at just how many people. I mean, there was obviously a real hunger for just this type of event.
And then let's see. So, but it's a great opportunity to showcase, you know, this, again, ever exploding kind of Lexington culinary scene.
Oh, absolutely. And we've got over 50 local restaurants and food trucks that are going to be, you know, serving food, three different dishes each one. So we're going to have 160, 165 different things you can come and sample. And it's all local companies. We don't, you know, it's local beer, it's local wine, it's, you know, it's even local booze. Heaven Hill's one of our sponsors. So they, you know, everything, almost everything in there is Kentucky based, which has been an important thing for us too, from the very beginning.
Yeah, and another thing, like 2020 hindsight, you know, it seems so obvious, but it's only just, you know, it's only just been happening in the last not too many years.
Right, and if you think about the explosion of sort of smaller outdoor festivals, you have Night Market, you have the Jefferson Street Soiree, the Chevy Chase Block Party, the
Warehouse Block Party.
All these are insanely popular. I mean, even Thursday Night Live. You just put a band and some people outside on a nice day, add in a little beer, and I mean, people will seem to come.
Right, but it used to be that it was just a truck with nacho cheese sauce and a
right. Yes. Yeah, so no concessions. You know, we're sticking with, I mean, the really interesting thing, and, you know, being festival organizers, we probably don't get to actually experience it quite as much as everyone else getting to go around and sample. But last year, I just took a straight hour and tried as many things as I could. And, I mean, it's everything from, you know, ethnic hole in the wall, your favorite, you know, sushi joint to, you know, some kind of nicer fine dining, some restaurants that you've been maybe wanting to try but haven't been to. It's just a really interesting variety of food. They're all just kind of crammed in there next to each other. So you get to sample a lot of stuff that you maybe haven't tried from Lexington.
What about, here's an idea for you. What about burgers? Are there any burgers out there? Have you guys ever thought about doing that?
Burgers? I've never even thought about burgers at all.
So, like, did anybody get killed during Burger Week? Another Smiley Pete thing that you guys did.
Burger Week was our. I don't think anyone. You mean killed as in, like,
in line?
Oh no, I think that the restaurants got killed as in they got completely slammed with people coming to get burgers due to Burger Week. How many burgers were sold this year? We think
62,000 burgers in 1 week.
I ate only like 12,000 of those. So
I had three and I was about done. I don't think I've had a burger since. So
it's tough to have. I think I had burgers for some meal like 4 days in a row.
We had two people
sometimes
who,
two a day. And I was like, no, I've got to stop.
We had two people who ate every burger on the list, which was
no, that's wrong.
36 different burgers in 1 week.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. But they won free burgers for a year from Bluegrass Hospital.
They get a trophy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
I thought
they
got a trophy.
So they get to eat more burgers.
A trophy made out of cholesterol.
That's right.
Yeah, so that was a smash hit. And it was a little bit of props for that.
It's been interesting watching that.
It becomes, I tell you what I learned is that you can surf from, you kind of, maybe you surf from one giant line to a place that's not too far away that has less of a giant line. Like I did this with Willie's, where Willie's was, it was a little too much for me. And, but just a hop, skip away, not getting back in my car, was the catch.
Yeah. So did you go there and get their burger? Yeah,
I did theirs last year, and it was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All of them, the ones that I had were good. Although, you know, I've always had, I really didn't mean to say a beef and be funny. But as long as it's there, I just might as well say.
I said people had a hunger for the festival earlier, and I didn't like I stop. I didn't mean to. Sorry,
we were going to let you slide on that. But like, you know, I'd like to see a category, and I have always wanted to see a category for the most. And it's hard to do this, but the most traditional Orthodox cheeseburger. Actually, you know, like. Do it like you know, like a martini
cheeseburger.
Yeah, you just nail a cheeseburger. You know, it's fine to put a hot brown on top of one if that's what you want to do.
I do agree with you,
but I'd like to see. That's what I'm always in search of, is the classic, super super classic cheeseburger.
And couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So anyway, here with Chris and Soraya from Smiley Pete, and we're talking about Smiley Pete's assorted forays into food and music culture. Mm-hmm. The one coming up this weekend. It's this weekend, right?
Yes, Saturday and Sunday.
Now there's music too, right?
Yes, absolutely. And WRFL, we are very grateful to be partnering with WRFL to present our music stage.
So, yay.
We're just real excited to have RFL on board this year. WRFL is actually officially presenting two of the bands. Ezra, local kind of new up-and-coming indie pop band, they're playing at 1:30 on Saturday, and then WRFL is presenting Low Fidel, some really awesome hip hop with Alan Poe and Fred C.
I love Alan Poe.
2:45 on Saturday as well. I've been familiar with Low Fidel, Carlos, and he's been affiliated with RFL for a long time, or he was. So his album is great. He does a lot of kind of instrumental hip hop, really, really cool stuff. He just had like one of the best-selling Bandcamp instrumental hip-hop albums in the world last week.
I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah,
I didn't know that, but he's a force. He's a force to be reckoned with.
So that's I'm real glad to have them. I'm not as familiar, honestly, with Alan Poe and Fred C., but there are a couple MCs that he's bringing on that he's partnering with, and they are just some local hip-hop dudes doing some really cool stuff.
So. I've been trying to get Alan Poe to come on my show for a long time, and I'm only familiar with him through his contributions to, like, Just Me records, I think, and maybe Shiesty Christ, too. I'm not sure. But whenever I hear his stuff, I'm like, this is great. plus, awesome hip-hop name.
Yeah. You know,
Alan Poe, I think, is a great one.
Yeah.
Let's take a little musical break. I may see if I can find something along those lines.
Yeah.
Soraya's directing me to the Playbox situation. In the meantime, though, I'm going to play some Dirty Dozen Brass Band.
Absolutely.
Because just, you know, they happen to be playing, too.
On Saturday night, as a matter of fact.
One of New Orleans' most shining lights. So let's play a little bit of that and see what else we can find. We're going to come back with Chris Eddy and Soraya Brewer of Smiley Pete and talk more about the Crave Festival. Stick around. This is Trivial Thursdays on WRFL. DeBron Thomas, Lexington's own, WRFL's own. They're from his album, All My Colors Are Blind, with Bedroom Stranger, which just burns,
excellent.
I think.
Yeah, absolutely. They just got back from, they played, I think it's called Golden Gate Blues Festival in San Francisco, and DeBron is originally from there, and they flew him in to play this pretty huge blues festival out in San Francisco. I think they played like 5 gigs in the city while they were there.
That's awesome, and I bet he was incredibly well received.
Yeah, I think it was. They're opening
DeBron
up Crave.
And
are, yeah. yeah, at starting around 12:15 on Saturday.
Yeah. We also heard the Dirty Dozen Brass Band, which we've just, you know, kind of minimized in some ways. And they're like incredible.
they're totally incredible.
The Sissy Strut we heard from their Medicated Magic album. Now, they've played in Lexington many times.
Yeah, I feel like I've been seeing them for probably over a decade. They've been playing as a band for, I think, like 35 years or something in different iterations.
But they're one of those bands you can't see them enough.
I mean,
you can't ever be like, oh, God, the Dirty Dozen Brass Band again.
Yeah, they've got such a great crossover, all these different bands. Like, the, you know, jam band kids love them. The jazz musicians love them. I mean, it's just, funk, R&B. They just they're really great band.
This is a guaranteed good time, pretty
yes.
much. So
we're real excited. They're flying into Lexington and just doing the show and flying back out. So we're real excited to host them at Crave on Saturday night. And March Madness Marching Band is actually going to do a nice little parade throughout the festival right before their show. So we're excited to kind of pair those
how much
those two
wanna,
bands.
I'd like to place an open wager as to how likely it is that Dr. Sousa, Derek Wingfield, figures out some way to play sousaphone with the Dirty Dozen Brass
just
Band.
Get up on there somehow, yeah.
he's gracious, and he's not assuming.
Yeah.
He's not assuming, but if he figures out a way to do it, I wouldn't be surprised.
Awesome.
He's probably already friends with the sousaphone player from Dirty Dozen Brass Band and has been tirelessly practicing.
Learning all the songs.
Said with much love for March Madness Marching Band's Dr. Sousa. Let's see. So Crave gets underway
Saturday.
Can I come for breakfast? Or
you can come for your noon breakfast if you're one of those noon breakfast type of people on the weekends like myself. Yeah, it starts at noon both days. Saturday, we're going hard all the way until 11 o'clock. Sunday till 7, so there's lots of hours. You can come for multiple meals and basically just walk around and eat bites of everything all day long and try a bunch of food.
Simple, lots of good new food. Find your favorite restaurant.
Yeah, and so these are like, I mean, what's great, I think, is if you, let's say, compared to, say, I don't know, Burger Week, where you would eat, you know, a giant hamburger, and you're not like, okay, let's go get the next burger, except for a chosen few, maybe. But yeah, like at Crave, you've got these kind of awesome little small plates. And
yeah, so everybody has three different sized samples. You know, you can get stuff for those three different prices that I uh-huh. don't think we're allowed to talk about on RFL price type
correct.
Stuff, but you can get all the
well
information
done
at cravelexington.com.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's really kind of a sampling. I mean, you can definitely fill up. But last year, you know, I mean, you can probably try 15 different things and still, you know, kind of keep going with it. So,
yeah. And, you can you can probably like wait in line for the big hits, or you can go to the places that don't seem to be getting quite the love.
Yeah, but still have amazing food. The ice cream, I've always never ceases to surprise me how the ice cream lines are just absolutely out of control.
And even at 9 o'clock at night, there's still 40 people in line waiting for ice cream. It's insane.
So we've got the full list of all of the food vendors is on cravelexington.com if you're interested in getting a heads up, trying to make your game plan. We will have programs that actually have maps kind of telling you where everything is. Last year, we kind of were encouraging people to just go exploring. We didn't tell people explicitly where everything is, but we've got it laid out a little more clearly this year. So you can actually find exactly what you're looking for or just wander around and, you know, try new things.
So, and then, like, so then is there a single stage for music?
Yeah, we've just got one stage, and we get a nice big stage. We kind of turned up the production value a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah,
okay. You know, pretty nice big stage, the WRFL music stage.
Can't
miss it when you're in there. And, yeah, we've got 12 bands throughout the course of the 2 days. Got lots of stuff, a lot of local bands, but we're also bringing in, you know, from New Orleans, the Dirty Dozen Brass Band, from Austin, Texas, this band called Whiskey Shivers. They're kind of like, I like to describe them as almost like outlaw bluegrass. They're young guys, but they're punk-inspired bluegrass. They also, when I was chatting with them before, they offered to do a full Violent Femmes cover set, which I would have loved, but we already have we're doing, you know, the James Brown tribute, the Payback local band, and we're also doing the Same As It Ever Was Talking Heads tribute. Those guys are incredible.
Where are they from?
They're from Knoxville.
Okay.
And they play here. They've developed a pretty good following. Yeah. They play here, you know, every couple months or so, but they really, really nail it. They play All the hits, your favorite Talking Heads songs. They do some B-sides. They're really great at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you touched on some of the hip-hop people that are playing.
Yeah, I've got some hip-hop. Chico Fellini is doing their first show in like 5 years. They're a great local band. Dwayne Lundy, Emily Hagahara, Brandon Judd, and Chris Dennison. I'm real excited to get them back on the stage. They're going to be doing a few shows. The Wooks are a great local bluegrass band. They're playing on Sunday. Freak Bass is a kind of interesting act from Cincinnati, just real funky. He's collaborated with Bootsy Collins a bunch, and I think he did an album with one of the Beastie Boys. He's done a lot of really great collaborations. He's just kind of straight funk.
Okay.
So that's happening on Sunday too.
What an array of music. Wow. And all of that is the kind of musical backdrop to all this kind of amazing food selection. And
yeah. One thing I am really excited about this year, we have these air-conditioned tents in every zone. They're beautiful. They're up now. They're these really, really cool tents. They're, you know, they've got the clear walls, so you can kind of be in there and still feel like you're outside experiencing everything.
Is this
everything,
like for normal people? You don't have to have a special laminate to be
normal,
in there?
No, this is for normal people. We've got one, and we've got four of them. One of them's got a bunch of board games for adults to play. One of them's kind of over in the music, so you can actually hear and see the music, but you're in this kind of AC tent. So, yeah, definitely, that's a new thing, a new element to the festival that we're real excited about this year.
Mm-hmm. So this is the part that you're not going to want to answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway, which is I want you to give me your favorite secret place that, you know, restaurant place that's going to be out there that you're particularly tickled about. Maybe it's because they're new. Maybe it's because they're somebody you love.
There's one we're actually, so a lot of these, most of these are local, but we started to bring in a few regional ones. There's one out of Cincinnati called Empanadas Aqui, which I am very excited about. My grandma's Puerto Rican, so empanadas are kind of like our family food. So anytime you can throw a bunch of empanadas in a food trip. I'm real excited about that. Rolling oven is.
You're not gonna be like, you call these empanadas.
I don't know.
When we did the Feeders Cup food truck challenge last year, they won first place.
I believe
they won first place.
Okay,
and they're out of Cincinnati.
Yeah, they're out of Cincinnati.
They went over very well.
Okay.
And I haven't tried this Tuk Tuk Sri Lankan Bites yet. It's a local. They've been doing kind of pop-ups. They serve food out of Arcadium. And I am very excited to see what they have. I think that sounds really interesting.
I didn't know that existed. I'm totally fascinated.
Yeah, this is a Lexington
thing. When I lived in New York, a block away from me was... I can't remember the name of it now, but it was a Sri Lankan restaurant. It was the hottest food I've ever had in my life.
Spicy?
Yes.
All right, bring it on.
And I like spicy food a lot, but they were wicked, wicked hot. So I don't know if that's how all Sri Lankans bring it, but that might be what... I'm super curious to check that out.
Pollo is a gourmet chicken food truck from Louisville, I believe.
Okay.
And it's this big black, like, city bus, and it's painted, you know, matte black, and they serve fried chicken. And so one of the things I had last year was fried chicken grilled cheese, which is as awesome as it sounds. That was a really popular one last year as well.
I'm glad that you guys don't have any problem. Like, I'm glad you didn't say like, oh, all of them, I can't wait for all of them. Which I'm sure you can't, but...
Craves is another. I don't know if you've tried them. They're that taco place. They're right on the corner right over here on campus.
No, I haven't, actually.
They have like a variety of kind of different kind of tacos, not your traditional Mexican tacos. They used to have this like, it was a chicken masala taco, Indian kind of style. Their stuff's really good. They've got a really nice setup here. They've got kind of a big tent with some dining chairs underneath it. Mm-hmm. They've got it. So I'm interested to see their... They're real excited. This is their first year at Crave, so.
Well, I'm really hungry now, so I don't appreciate that, but.
Save your appetite.
So anyway, thanks you guys for coming and talking, Chris Eddy and Soraya Brewer. Let's leave everybody with something from maybe Whiskey Shivers.
Yeah, Whiskey Shivers out of Austin. They'll be playing on Saturday afternoon.
So. Okay, so people that want to know, Crave gets underway on Saturday.
Yep.
People can find out all the kinds of cool details and stuff.
CraveLexington.com.
Yeah. And you're like smeared all over social media.
Yeah. Or you can just go to Facebook. Yeah.
Okay, you guys. Well, thanks for coming and visiting. And we'll send you out with some Whiskey Shivers here who are playing. When are they playing?
They're playing Saturday at 4 o'clock.
Okay. Well, I look forward to seeing you and 40,000 other people. Great.
Thanks for having us.
At Masterson Station Park.
Thanks.
This is Trivial Thursdays. Some music here from Whiskey Shivers, and we're going to come back and visit with Warren Byram, who's brought Chris Sullivan along. So stick around. There's much more to come.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and of course via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to wrfl.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.
Warren Byram and Chris Sullivan. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I use the term loosely. I'm always so happy to have you guys around, and I'm reminded of how lucky I am to get basically one-person concerts from time to time. That was some impressive acoustic guitaring, among other things. I just want to say, Chris Sullivan here with that's you didn't buy that last week, did you, Chris?
I bought it about 3 weeks ago. I've swapped some stuff for it. But yeah.
So well, let me be a little clearer then. That guitar was not recently manufactured.
Yeah, I don't really know. There's no identifying marks on it.
What's the muse you're looking for when you find a new axe? Because you've had plenty.
It's all about sound, really, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's easy on the eyes too.
It is. Now you guys, Warren. I'm happy to see you and have you along here. You've got a new record out, Chris. I assume you guys have been playing music together for years, so I assume you're all over this new record of Warren's. Is that right? Or did you have him on there at all?
I don't think he ended up playing on this one.
I didn't play on
that's weird. How did that happen?
Chris played on the first one on a few of the tracks, or at least a couple of the tracks on Fabled Canelands, the first one.
I think that's weird. How did that happen? You guys have been playing together forever. Chris, were you like, man, you're not going to ask me to play on your record or what?
Well, we started out doing that when Chris wasn't playing in the lineup 3 or 4 years ago when we actually started recording it.
Okay.
And we'd gone in and pretty much did it like a live thing.
Yeah.
Thought it was going to be like tonight's tonight or something, you know, but... it didn't work out that way.
So you
just sort of like, you know, going back and sort of chipping away at it.
Yeah. Well, so this is, by the way, I played a couple songs here. Of course, just a second ago, we heard Warren Byram and Chris Sullivan live in the studio, with a song I've heard before. I've heard that. So is that
it's
from the
Forbidden Planet?
Okay.
And we play that one. I mean, we've been playing that one for a while.
That's what I thought.
We've played that one. Some in the Swells too, but that version was Megan Hodges playing the Hammond organ, and I was playing acoustic guitar, and Tom Nato's, he played most of the other guitar on that record. If I'm not playing guitar on the record, then Tom played guitar and mostly pedal steel.
Now I want to be super clear for people, because we heard two songs you guys played. You played live just most recently, and then. Which was, and that song was, is that called Dance in the Foam? Or
Answer the Foam.
I always hear Dance in the Foam. Is that okay if I just sort of stick with that?
That's in there too.
and then before that, we heard the debut track off of Warren's new album called Heavy Makes You Happy, and the track was Forbidden Planet.
Yeah.
And this is hot off the, whatever you call them, the presses.
The backseat of the van.
Yeah, right. an 8-track record here. 8 tracks as opposed to an 8-track. Maybe you made an 8-track too. I don't know, but
that would be cool.
I think that your artist Robert Beatty could probably help with that for some reason. Yeah. I feel like Robert would know how to get an 8-track made. This is not, by the way. So Warren Byram and the Fabled Canelands, which I don't know. I think of as a band, an album, a sandwich. This is just Warren Byram, this new one.
Hopefully someday I'll have my own sandwich.
I'd like to help with that. If I can, I always just like to be of service, so if I can figure out any way to help, I will. So this record, what's the difference between like a Fabled Canelands record and a solo record of yours?
Well, I actually put both of them out just under my name, but
Okay.
Fabled Canelands, I use that name. I mean, it's kind of like a collective, but we have a steady lineup. We've been doing shows with Sam Meyer on drums, and Chris has been doing guitar, and Cecilia Miller Wright playing cello,
mm-hmm.
and Scott Wilmoth doing bass. But Robbie Cosenza played drums for a few years.
And, not that
and,
guy.
And Tom Nato. Uh-huh. But, you know, they're off playing, you know, fancy birthday parties for Ringo Starr's. No.
What?
Did you hear about that? They
no.
just played, Vandeveer just played Ringo's birthday party out in L.A.
I'm speechless. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I want to make a crack of some kind, but and there are ones to make. But that's amazing.
I think it's pretty awesome. But they've been out with different bands on the road and stuff, but it's sounding amazing. This lineup.
So you guys
and
like
those guys will be playing as well.
So yeah, that was my point. Was they'll be they played. They've factored heavily on the record, and we'll be doing the Canelands Collective. For the record release at Al's on Saturday.
So this record, this record, like I don't know, I'm curious about this is your second solo record, right, Warren?
Yeah.
In all the years that I've known you guys have been playing music together forever, and I've seen you in particular kind of grow into a. We talk about singing sometimes, and I feel like I've seen your entire singing career, and it's taken a while for, in my mind, or as a fan and audience member and whatever, for you to like grow into a really distinctively genuine voice. You've talked about it a few times about.
I kind of feel that way too. I mean, or I don't know about the distinctively genuine, but I mean, I just feel like. It's taken me, and I feel like I'm still learning just how my voice works, just as an instrument. Because I, you know, if I, you know, when I let go and I'm singing, a lot of times I'll hear something and it's not. I'll hear something in my head and it's not exactly what's coming out. But that discrepancy between those two has gotten a lot smaller.
That's an interesting observation.
Over the last few years, and recording this record actually taught me a lot about that. So
I remember one time we were talking and you made some reference it was kind of self-deprecating, but you were saying that you wondered why you didn't just kind of belt it out earlier, like just get, like there's some aspect of your singing that maybe you feel like is less bridled than it's ever been, and maybe a while back.
Yeah, I mean, some of that stuff is just, like I was just saying, the physical side of just, like, you know, the instrument, of, like, learning how to relax and stuff, but...
And just let it
happen.
A lot
of it was just, yeah, just being, just not having the confidence to do it, I guess.
Let's see, so, compared to the fabled Canelands record, what were some of the hurdles you had to get over with this, or what were some of the things that presented? Anything present particular challenges here that didn't happen with the Fabled Canelands record?
Mostly my brain, just like working through my own perceptions of things, really. Yeah, I mean, I guess without going that direction, I'll say that there were just challenges with getting versions of the songs that were true to the narrative or true to the, you know, like the spell I wanted to cast with the song. And I would try different versions out sometimes with the full band, and it would be, it would just be kind of too much for the song or something.
I know I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to this stuff and always want to know this kind of thing. Like, so you have these songs, and how fully formed are they for you? When your friends and fellow musicians come into play, how much do you just be like, okay, here's the song, you fill in what you want, and how much are you like, no, I want you to play this, here's what I want you to play?
It's a mix. If it's a song that I've been playing for a while, I'll usually have the arrangement pretty down pat.
Mm-hmm. Arrangement, might, in this case, meaning like the bass part, the drum part.
No, I mean just the form of the song.
Okay.
Like, okay, there's a verse. There's a verse here, and then a bridge, and okay, then a verse, okay. And a chorus. And then, yeah, I might have ideas about the sound, like, I think the bass should have like this certain pulse or something, or, but we'll try out different feels of it. And sometimes it really adds to that narrative of the song. And sometimes it gets in the way. It's just a matter of playing it, playing through it.
Yeah.
A considerable amount of time, just getting.
Do you ever just get frustrated and hit the door? I can't see you doing that, but that's why I ask. You ever just like, God, I got to get out of here.
Like in the studio. Oh, in the studio?
Yeah, you're just like trying to craft these things.
Mostly I get frustrated in the studio. When I was doing this record, I would get frustrated just with my own performance. Like
yeah.
that I couldn't, just do it right then. I couldn't get the vocal I wanted or uh-huh. whatever. But 'cause it was, and I think I'm a lot better about it now, but it was hard for me to relax in the studio. But I don't get that way at rehearsal or shows.
Yeah.
And very much at all anymore. I just really love playing in a band with my friends, and they're all amazing musicians, and it's just, it's all icing on the cake, really.
Yeah. Well, it's been fun. I will just say as a observer over the years watching you all, I'm always happy to show up at any venue where I see that you all are gonna play, and that could be that's not necessarily like a bar or something like that. Sometimes it's a birthday party. So even though you didn't apparently get invited to play at Ringo Starr's birthday party, but Chris Sullivan and Warren Byram are here. Warren's new record is called Heavy Makes You Happy, just came out. And would you guys, let's see, we've got a sort of crunched in schedule. I wanted you to get a chance to come in and talk. So people can see this stuff, make its big debut this weekend, right?
Yeah, that's Saturday at Al's.
Yeah.
Our friend Joshua Doss is going to open up. He'll do a set, solo acoustic set. Probably 9:30, and then we'll go on a little after 10 and play till about 11:30 or so, and then Idiot Glee will round it out, and mm-hmm. yeah, I'll have CDs and
playing tonight at Zanzibar in Louisville.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Yeah, tonight.
I've heard good things about that place.
Yeah, that's gonna be a really fun show. Idiot Glee's gonna come up and play that show with us, and Axel Cooper from the Louisville band New Mother Nature, he's playing a opening set too, and he's billing that as New Mother.
Okay.
Yeah, it's gonna be really fun.
Okay, so I'm gonna leave it. I'm gonna let you guys make the call here. We've got time for another song.
I'll add that we're playing, gonna do Cincinnati Friday night, and then next week I'm doing a tour, solo tour up East Coast.
Solo tour, does that mean like
East Coast dates?
Does that mean Warren Byram?
Yeah,
and guitar
just
or what?
Me and my guitar.
Okay,
gonna
wow.
Start in Whitesburg next Wednesday. Oh, and
fantastic. At the Apple Shop Studio or something like that, I guess?
Yeah, my friend Josh May's record store.
Oh, right. I know where that place is. It's on the right there on the corner. Yeah. There's only a few corners in Whitesburg, but yeah, that one.
And then,
that's a cool little record store.
Yeah. I'm looking for, I actually haven't been there yet, but I'm really looking forward to
Whitesburg has a burgeoning little kind of punk rock scene and stuff. I mean, they got all kinds of stuff going on there because of Apple Shop. It's the intersection of culture. But last time I was there, I saw goth kids. I saw punk rock kids. It made me really happy. So it looks like you all have decided, I didn't even get my question out, to play a live song, which suits me just fine. But I'm so tickled, Warren, that you have this great new record, and I'm sure it's great without having heard it yet.
Thanks,
I look
man.
Forward to hearing it. I feel like the sound that you make and that you made with the Fabled Canelands, and whenever I see you guys live, and I include you and Chris Chris, is quintessentially Kentucky. It's a quintessentially Kentucky sound. It makes me very happy.
Great. Thanks, man.
So I hope
really appreciate you having us on. And
come back and visit anytime. And
I will.
I'm gonna send you guys out with this, and then we'll take a short break, and then we're gonna come back with Kremena Todorova and Kurt Godey, and Sean Gannon, and how many more people you guys got coming in here? There's like 12 more people coming. So we'll be back. This is Trivial Thursdays, but right now, what do you got in mind?
Let's do New Best Friend. I was thinking of this song because Ma Turner just did a video for this song using James Baker Hall Super 8 footage.
Wow.
And we're gonna put that out in the next day or two.
Okay.
On the social media, but I think he did a great job on it.
So, fascinating.
Yeah, it's called New Best Friend.
Warren Byram and Chris Solomon here.
That little boy could rock the cushions till the bald spot lit the cow. In search of cosmic visions, his mind just reeling out. Or show him God's pretty whip. The furniture cannot stay. Then march him down the street and show him how to play. Singing, who knows what any of it means. You sweated more than this in your dreams. Now just get quiet and listen to your new best friend. Back when serenity was just smoke and an air freshening crown, drop your soul down in the barrel and you ride all over town. The sun screamed out his cold refrain to all returning users. Mine's the only game, but who knows what any. Sweated more than this in your dreams. You must ask before you shall receive. Darling, who's gonna shoe your pretty little feet? And who will caress your hand? A heart is a muscle with a memory. It's soft in the springtime like the land. But who knows what any of it means? You sweated more than this in your dreams. Now just get quiet. Listen to your new best friend.
Warren Byram and Chris Sullivan. Thanks for coming down, guys.
Yeah, thanks.
So great to see you and hear you, and come visit again, okay? This is Trivial Thursday, so we're going to take a brief break, and we're going to be back with Kurt and Cremena and Sean Gannon. So stick around. There's more to come. As if I won't shut up about that, it seems like I won't, but it's worth not shutting up about. They were at Cosmic Charlie's on Tuesday, and playing to, I don't think it was quite sold out, but it was full of people who had their minds blown by the incredible facility and just sheer magic of Deerhoof Live. So, and I was among them. So anyway, that was Dummy Discards a Heart. This is Mick. It's Trivial Thursdays here on WRFL, and I am happy to be joined by even more of my favorite people.
We're here.
Cremena Todorova, Kurt Cody, Sean Gannon, regular characters on the show in some ways.
In some sometimes. Ways.
Kurt and Cremena, I haven't seen you all down here in a while.
No,
maybe
a
not
while.
In this studio, even.
It's the first time in this location.
Yeah, in the bunker, as I like to call it. Don't worry, we're safe down here from zombies and atomic bombs and I don't know what else. There's a door over here that where there maybe is where they keep the zombies. I'm not sure. I never open it. So, you guys, what brings this motley crew together?
We're talking about starting a band.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Three spades and the dead roach.
I can see that you've thought about this for at least 5 seconds. That's good.
25. Yeah.
So, I don't know. When last we spoke, I don't know. You guys have been involved in probably all sorts of things since last we spoke. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that we... Let's see. So, Love Letter to the World was kind of an expansion on the Lexington Tattoo Project in some ways.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Burning Man was kind of involved.
My impression was that we were not invited to talk about our band. Maybe next time.
Oh, okay.
My impression was that we were invited to talk about Sean, about our new artwork.
You're invited to talk about Sean, actually.
No, about our new artwork, which we actually launched yesterday, but we started thinking about it and talking about it with a small group of people just about a year ago in July of 2015. And Sean was part of that small group of people and has been part of the support group, but also a person who has participated and helped in many different ways. But yeah, we're here to talk about Unlearn Fear and Hate.
Okay, please don't rest on your past laurels. Now we're moving forward.
No. Never. Okay. Never a dull, leisurely moment. But yeah, so Unlearn Fear and Hate is connected in some ways to the global tattoo project Love Letter to the World, but it's also its own artwork. And it's connected to Love Letter to the World in that it is based on words from the poem that Frank X. Walker wrote for the Global Tattoo Project.
Okay.
And the words are Unlearn Fear and Hate. And specifically where the artwork came and really the impulse to make this kind of artwork before we even knew what it was going to be. But the impetus and the need really to make this artwork came from a summer of a lot of tension, both nationally and here locally. Mm-hmm. And so you probably will remember that last summer we were all seeing more and more on social media reports and really citizenship journalism about police violence against unarmed Black people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people in the country and here locally were really concerned about what we were recognizing as racial injustice and serious, serious problem in the country. And then what connected to that locally was a conversation about the two Confederate monuments at Cheapside, which is a space where slaves used to be sold before the Civil War. And so the conversation was, what do we do with this legacy, which is a legacy of slavery and slave owning and selling of human beings? Mm-hmm. And that was a local conversation connected to the national conversation. And we really felt, Kurt and I really felt that we wanted to enter this conversation and create an artwork that continues this conversation and hopefully gets people to be able to talk to each other, people on opposite sides of the debate or the conversation.
And then can I add into that there was a kind of a Memorial Hall controversy here at UK that was sort of similar, I think.
Yeah, kind of came up at the same time.
I think these questions are very, very complicated.
like, and people have, I have trouble finding a sort of right position, if you will, mm-hmm. Between, you know, preserving history for the sake of, who was it that said, those who don't learn history are doomed to repeat it, or something mm-hmm. like that. And also simultaneously wanting to be considerate and appropriate and compassionate and empathetic to people who were absolutely marginalized at some point. Mm-hmm. So is this kind of part of what your new artwork is about? This,
yeah, I think what, where you are right now with that kind of the tension is exactly what the work is about. So yeah. With the conversation around the memorials or monuments downtown last year, we realized that people couldn't hear each other. Mm-hmm. They're either on one side of the argument or the other, and they came to Urban County Art Review Board, which I sit on, to kind of present their argument and make their best case, not really with an intention to find any kind of compromise or middle ground, because everybody is very firmly committed to their side. And the two sides seem to be so polar opposite that compromise isn't a pursuit. And so what we realized was that people are responding, I guess in some ways, they're fearful, they feel threatened, that their way of thinking, their way of existing is threatened and has to change. Mm-hmm. And so that is the kind of fear that makes people act out with aggression and hatred. And so this artwork is about that, about how can we move forward when we have kind of sides that are so polar opposite that they can't hear each other.
I'm thinking about this Bob Schieffer. You know who Bob Schieffer is? He started Meet the Press, which was for a long time the longest running show on TV.
He's Face the Nation.
Face the Nation, is yeah. that right? Okay. Yeah, same guy though. So I read a chronicle that he wrote many, many years ago, and he predicted this kind of world that we live in, sort of where there would be a myriad of media outlets, but that it wouldn't make people more open-minded. It would make them more like cleave to their position and just find their particular channel. And I wonder about what on earth to do about that too, because Kurt, I heard you saying that people have their position and they're kind of more likely than ever to just really stick to it. Mm-hmm. But you also noted something that I think, try to think more and more about lately, which is that position that people stick to their positions out of a kind of fear. And it's not the kind of fear that should be attacked. It's like, it's legitimate fear. People, they're afraid of, like you said, kind of, their way or their, what they're used to being taken away from them. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that we can get anywhere until we get more empathetic about that. And I feel like I've only learned that kind of recently. So how does that figure into what you guys are trying to do?
It seems to me kind of coming in from this, after they invited me to participate in this, even in looking at Frank Walker's poem as a whole, mm-hmm. I think what he's asked us to do in doing that is to look within ourselves, and the phrase that's on the artwork now is unlearn fear and hate, mm-hmm. but it also kind of asks you to learn what makes you fear and hate, and we all have that within us at some level, and I think that's part of what we need to do is just kind of be introspective. And maybe that's where we start, is with ourselves, and then moving outward from there.
How do you all do that? You all have, Kurt and Carmina in particular, you guys have expanded, I think, what I think of and what many people think of as art, or community art in particular, the idea of community art, which seems so simple as two words, but in practice, to actually resonate with people is tough, and you guys have managed to do that a number of times. So how do you do that? How do you do that where this topic is concerned?
So the beginning of the first, so this we've been at this artwork in conversations with a lot of different people for a year. And so what people are seeing now is the beginning of it. And what people are seeing or can see are two halo-like installations, two halos. Each of them has the words unlearn, fear, and hate, one in English and one in Spanish. And we invite people to come today at the 21C Hotel downtown. We'll be there from 11 a.m. till 6 p.m. taking portraits of people with the halo behind them.
Oh,
and then
right.
Tomorrow we're going to be at the Spanish language halo, which is on the Village branch of the public library. We'll be there from 3 to 5 p.m. But really, we've designed the halo so that anyone can take their own picture. They really work pretty well as a selfie station, or mm-hmm. you can have someone take your own picture, hashtag it unlearn fear and hate, post to social media. We think of this as a kind of visual petition. Mm-hmm. People are committing to, as Sean pointed out, becoming aware of our own fears and maybe hatefulness and prejudice, and in doing that, hoping to unlearn them. But what we are going to do with the images that we capture today and tomorrow and afterwards, is we're going to ask each person we photograph for their name, how they identify, but also we're asking people to tell us their response to one of two questions, either what is your biggest fear, or what do you think our society is most afraid of? And we're posting those mini narratives on social media. And our hope is that that's an additional way to humanize people to each other. Because mm-hmm. if I see that you, Mick Jeffries, are afraid of tall
bananas.
White men, or what did you say?
Bananas.
Goat cheese.
Bananas. Really. If I see that you're afraid of something, I realize that you're fragile, that you're another human being just like me with your own fears and your own insecurities. And maybe that makes it a little bit easier for me to approach and talk to you or look at you and recognize your humanity. So our hope is that this collection of images, which on the one hand serve as a visual petition, will also help us see beyond the surface and, mm-hmm. and see into other people's inner lives, even if just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Kermana Todorova, Kurt Godey, and Sean Gannon here talking about Unlearn Fear and Hate, their new art project. So the term community art comes up with me for you guys a lot. Is this more community art for you all? What does community art mean for you?
That's an interesting question. I think, community art tends to suggest participatory art and artwork that people can become involved in, and often artwork that welcomes children in a number of ways. And that's not, it's not the only way the phrase community art is used, but it certainly is a part of it. And I think we are doing more of that as well with this artwork.
Okay.
So we've already connected with and are very excited to work with Lafayette High School, STEAM Academy,
Transylvania University,
and Lyric Theater on
Sayre
School on programming that is around this theme, unlearn fear and hate.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it is very specifically making art that is based on it, and sometimes in the case of Transylvania this year, all of the endowed lecturers are invited to speak on something that is related to that theme. So at times it is more just a thematic connection to the phrase, and sometimes it is more directly connected to the imagery that we're creating with the halos.
Mm-hmm. These halos I am gathering, Sean, you're an amazing metal worker. You figured... am I correct in guessing that you figured into the creation of these halos?
I was part. Yeah, we talked about this from the very beginning, and it is morphed in several different things, and this is what finally came of it after a lot of work and finding people to cut stainless steel and MDF board and all this other stuff. This is what it turned out to be. So, I think Kurt, you came up with the actual design of it. I polished it.
The two of us did. Yeah. Let's just say that anything that's good, I came up with. Kurt made a little bit better, and Sean polished it.
So yeah. It's like, so like everything.
Yeah. I think
this is continuing trend.
From the beginning, there were many times when we would sit down with Sean when we thought we would have a pretty good idea of what we're going to do, and he would say one or two or 17 things that... really kind of blew our mind and opened it up to a lot of different ways of thinking.
Did he ever say this? Here's what a friend of mine used to say a lot. That's good if you want to do it that way.
Yeah. Sorry. And then kind of towards the end, Sean has been the person I think he is for a lot of people here in Lexington. You know, when there was a technical problem that needed to be solved that seemed insurmountable to us, Sean said, I'll do that by 2 this afternoon.
Wow. That certainly gets some props there. Let's see. So we've just got a few moments left, you guys, which I just want to talk to you forever all the time. So let's let people know once again how they can be involved in the project, in the artwork, and in the most immediate sense. People can go to 21C, which in and of itself is pretty fun thing to do.
Yeah, most immediately, you can find us today at 21C. We'll be photographing people with the English language version of the halo from 11 to 6, and tomorrow from 3 to 5 at Village Branch Library for the Spanish language version.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Carmen Todorova, Kurt Godey, and Sean Gannon.